familiar with the essay that the Sosi Sharman himself said earlier on, and it's a very famous essay from the Chinuch, that the Chitzonius is Ma'ir the Pnimius. The way a person acts sometimes is Ma'ir certain feelings within him. Sosi Sharman said it by Zrizos, that if a person acts excited about Torah and Mitzvahs, even if he doesn't feel it inside, sometimes just acting excited could ignite the fires of Gishmak and of excitement in Kiyum HaMitzvahs. Same thing is true with Kas. An interesting thing, really, we talked about a punching bag yesterday. That's really the reason for it. Anybody who got angry, understand, if you break it down in your mind, the episode of Kas, you realize that sometimes someone does something upsetting to you, or you realize something, or you're angry at someone, and you scream at them. And the etzem expressing anger makes you more angry. It's an amazing thing. The etzem act of expressing anger makes you angry. Part of it is because it's a vicious cycle. The chitzaydis is ma'ir the pnimius. So when you scream at someone, especially when you use really good words to describe to the person his terrible avla, so then you listen to yourself, you go, wow, he really is terrible, and you get even angrier. Like, you convince yourself while you're angry. That's one reason why people who are angry become furious. Someone can get angrier and angrier and angrier just on his own. He can work himself up into a frenzy. There's another reason. It goes a little bit deeper. The other reason is that nobody likes to be controlled by anybody else. Nobody likes to feel like he's under someone else's control. And if you make me angry, and I blurt out, I express my anger, you really expose the weakness in me. And it's an emes. You expose the weakness in me. You made me embarrass myself. So if I was thinking clearly, I would stop being angry as soon as I can. I would catch myself. But when someone's in the cycle of past, so someone does something that makes him angry, he snaps, he gets angry, and then he gets so embarrassed and feels so humiliated that he got angry that he gets angrier at the person for making him angry. And you made me so angry, even if he doesn't say it, and even if he doesn't realize that that's what he's feeling. Ke'ilu, that if someone will make me angry, I become angrier because ke'ilu that I believe that I don't have bechira. I don't have bechira to get angry or not angry. If you're going to say certain things to me, I have no bechira. You made me angry if you hit me and it hurts. So who caused the pain to me? You hit me and it hurts, so then you caused the pain to me. I didn't cause the pain to myself. If you hit me and it hurts, you caused the pain to me. If you get me angry, so you caused me to get angry. You did that to me. That's the way we look at it. We don't feel the taste of control. So if somebody ticks us off, we get angry, and then we get angry that we're angry. We get mad at the person for making us angry because we're angry that the person had that shlita over us, that he was able to turn us from a normal, sane person into an angry person. And this all comes from the fact that we don't really believe that no matter what someone does, it's possible to not get angry. It's up to me. So if you get me angry, you did not get me angry. You might have done something not so smart. You might have said something, many times it's a miscommunication, you might have said something that sounded to me like something that should get me angry. But the only one that gets me angry, that's what we have to realize, is me. I'm the one that gets me angry. People sometimes, after they get into a big fight with somebody, they tell a person, I'm angry about what he did to me, and I'm angry that he made me into the type of human being that fights. No, that's a mistake. He didn't make you into that type of human being. He gave you the Nisayan. You failed it. He was Hashem's Shliach to send you that Nisayan. But we chose to fail the Nisayan. It's an important thing to remember. But even without taking it so far, if when I get angry, I realize that part of the reason that I'm working myself up into a frenzy is because now I'm embarrassed that I get angry. The person has to follow his seichel and not his lev and realize, one second, I'm not going to get in any better shape right now if I keep being mevayish myself. That's not going to help. Elomai, I'm just following the Shachar Vatari. Elomai, the person tells himself, it's too late. I already was mevayish myself. Might as well give the guy what he deserves. Right? The answer to that is that it's not true that it's too late. Anybody that sees somebody get very angry and then sees them stop, I'm not continuing this fight anymore, and the other person is still screaming, I don't want to keep being angry anymore. I'm not going to keep being angry. It's tremendous gevurah expressed over there. It's tremendous gadlus expressed over there. What? Yeah, it is gaiva, but that's what I'm trying to show, that there's more gaiva in calming down than in continuing to be angry. The angry person is the animal. The one, like we saw yesterday, kechayas hatarfas. The one who shows himself to be the man, the Adam, the Baal Seichel, there's gaiva in that. There's gaiva the other way. That's good gaiva. Dignity, not gaiva, call it dignity. So what's the Eitzah? First of all, just realizing this alone is a big Eitzah. And the screaming starts when they're throwing something. People make a big mistake. They get angry and they throw something. That throwing just makes you angrier. It's an amazing thing. The throwing makes you angrier. But before that, it's possible for a person to train himself. A person is Mason Lave. That as he starts getting angry, he starts lowering his voice. The truth is that an angry person with a low voice is sometimes scarier than an angry person with a loud voice. But as he starts getting angry, he starts quieting down and talking calmly and respectfully. As he's feeling the anger pile on, he just forces, feel whatever you feel like you're getting angry, you can't control it, fine. Just talk low. Just to talk in a kol rach, in a soft voice. And you'll find an amazing thing, that just the power of speaking low could diffuse anger. Amazing, it's an amazing Eitzah. And a person could feel like he's starting to get excited. This discussion, he's starting to get more excited and more excited and more excited. Just take a deep breath, start talking low. Exactly what you would have said loud, just say it low. It's another Eitzah to be Nitzel from Kass. The Sfarim give this Eitzah. Part of it is just the pu'ul of being angry makes you angry. Another Eitzah. Many times people get angry and they don't expect to get angry. Things happen, they don't expect to get angry. Something happened surprising, something happens and it was a situation that they didn't expect to get angry. But there are times, and everybody knows this, there are times that you could predict that this is a situation that might get you angry. Like yesterday we talked about the guy who keeps leaving his shirts on your bed, right? That was our mashal yesterday, whatever we used it for. But sometimes people do things that you know get you angry. And you could predict, I'm going to get angry now. I've heard people tell me, I'm going to go home there, I'm going to go there, I know I'm going to get mad. I know when I get home I'm going to get mad, I know. So times that people could predict that they're going to be, unfortunately by some situations it's going to a simcha, it's meeting certain people, it's being in the presence of certain, it's spending an extended period of time with certain people, I know I'm going to get angry. So you're lucky, you know that you're going to get angry, so you could prepare for it. And we have to change our way of preparing for those situations. Now we prepare for the situation is that when I get into that argument, I should be prepared with all the good lines I have. I sharpen my sword. I make sure that when I'm in that tough situation, I know how to give it to the guy better than I gave it to him last time. That's the way we do it now. But we have to learn how to go over in our mind. Many times we could predict situations that will make us angry. Who was it, Ephraim that was telling me yesterday that the guy is supper not being ready? Is it Ephraim?
What do you mean to prepare?
So I'll tell you what I mean to prepare. Let's say, we're going to use Ephraim's mashal from yesterday. A guy has a very, very, very long day. And he's starving. He didn't eat that day. He's starving. Mama's starving. And like someone came over to me a few days ago, a young man came over to me and said, like, he's not going to be upset if his wife didn't make supper tonight, but he sure hopes there's supper waiting for him when he gets home. You know, just, he hopes there's supper waiting for him when he gets home. He's waiting to eat something, and he's drained, and he's tired. It's not a good Shalom Bayis tip. While we're on the topic, an amazing thing, someone's pointed out to me, an amazing thing. I'll tell you where it comes up the most, but it really comes up every single day. It comes up the most that when you say to a rabbi, there's a matzav today that yidden are in the country that the wives and families spend the whole week in the country and the husbands have to travel in. It's a bidyevadika situation. That's the situation that we're in. So every week the husband goes in. And let's talk about a normal situation. Talk about a normal situation, a good family, a good marriage, a normal situation. So a normal situation, the husband goes in. And the wife is left in the bungalow with the kids. Are you familiar with this, such a thing? The wife is in the bungalow with the kids. And the whole week, the kids are driving her crazy because they know that the father's not there. They're driving her crazy. And she's like, boy, and he doesn't have to deal with any of this. He doesn't have to deal with any of this. He has no kids pulling at him and nothing. And she's doing laundry and cleaning up the house 10 times a day, and every time she finishes doing the laundry, it just has to be done all over again. And it's just like non-stop, she's working and working and working. The whole week, she's like, when he comes up on Friday afternoon or Thursday night or whenever it is, when he comes up to the country, I can't wait to dump these kids on him and run away somewhere. Meanwhile, this guy is in New York. He's getting up early in the morning and going to his shir. And it's very hard, he's very tired. He wakes up, whatever, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, to get to his shir, to daven before he goes to work, and then he goes to work, and it's tough work. People who aren't working don't realize sometimes it's tough, and he has to deal with the boss, and this, and that, and, you know, and companies, and policies, and competition, and so on and so forth. The workforce is stressful, and after a long day, he comes home to an empty house. He has to try to find himself something to eat, go out to eat, find himself something to eat. It's lonely. The walls, the house that used to have his cute kids running around, his wife to greet him, is empty. Again, I'm not talking about the guy who celebrates that his family's not there. I'm talking about a Mirtz Hashem, what we should be zeichet to, a normal situation. And he's lonely, and he's walking around the house. And he's like, you know, he just can't wait to be back with his family again, to put up his feet, to take it easy, to have his wife bring him something to eat. You know, to be able to relax a little bit in the company of his family. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the wife is building up. She can't wait. She's going to dump these kids on her husband, let him do the laundry, let him clean the house. She's going to get into her bed, climb under the covers, and not come out till Monday morning. And he's waiting the whole week. He can't wait. He'll get home. Ms. Thomas will give him a fresh cooked meal. She'll say, how are you? Finally, he could be greeted by a wife and so on. Probably she'll have the kids tucked into bed and everything all ready waiting for him. And this anticipation is building up. And her anticipation is building. She's leaving this kid ready by Thursday morning. She's ready leaving the dishes in the sink. He'll take care of it. And he's meanwhile dreaming. He'll come back. Everything will be spotless. This goes on every single summer, every single week, in many, many bungalows across the Catskills. So you could imagine Thursday night the guy shows up and she greets him with a laundry basket. You know, you can imagine it's a recipe for disaster. I don't know what the eitz is, but the first eitz is that people should recognize the problem. That's the first eitz. But the truth is that it happens every single day. It could happen every day. A person goes out to work. It's a very hard day. You know, I'm not one to start measuring who has a harder day, a husband or a wife. It's ridiculous. Different kaychas, different situations. Probably the wife, but still, it's hard to measure. And he's working hard the whole day, and his stresses, and this and that, and he's sweating, and he's hungry, and he's waiting to get home already. And she, of course, she's waiting. When is her husband going to get home? These kids are driving her crazy. And, you know, she's waiting for when her husband gets home. So the same mashal is a recipe for disaster every single night. So anyhow, back to my mashal. How do you work on, how do you prepare yourself? You prepare yourself like this. Let's assume, just, it's easier. Let's assume the guy's in Kaddish, right? So it's getting towards the end of Second Seder. His stomach is growling. He's famished. He's hoping that his wife has supper ready for him. So there's two ways that the guy could go home. He could go home anticipating supper, and then he gets home and he trips over one kid and his thing's out and she didn't even think about, oh, supper, right, I forgot about it, you know, because she was so frightened. And then he realized this is a situation, unfortunately, some people, this is a situation that makes him angry. Or he could punch it. It's such a simple answer. He could think before, if she made supper, just think about it before. That's what's the pleasure thing. We're not mean people. We're not angry people, Bateva. We're not mean people. We're not bad people. We're very nice people. All of us are very, very nice people. And if we just think about it before, just go through in our minds, I'm going to get home. It's possible that it won't be ready. What am I going to do if it's not ready? What am I going to say? I'm going to say, maybe tonight I could hop around to make supper for us. That's what I'm going to say. It'll be very hard for me to say that, but it'll make such a difference. That's what I'm going to say. Just to think about it before. Just not to be surprised with the situation. Just to think, to prepare yourself for it. A person knows that certain family members make them angry. Because they say certain things. They say certain types of comments that get under your skin and make you angry. Prepare yourself for it, mentally, emotionally. Prepare yourself for it. This person's going to say such and such. I'll give you a mashal. Everybody has somewhere in the ranks of their family someone who does not think that it's such a valuable thing that he's sitting in yeshiva. Everybody has, it used to be a much, much worse situation years ago, but even there's Manenu, everybody has somewhere in his extended family, his immediate family, or his extended family, somebody who thinks that he could be using his time much more wisely than to spend it learning Gemara. And meanwhile, you're trying, it's a frustrating thing. I have to say, I feel the tsar of it, because we come, and sometimes we also don't feel like spending time learning Gemara. We also sometimes not in the mood, and we push ourselves anyway, and we push, and we try, and we stay in yeshiva, and then we meet someone who says, what are you wasting your time learning Gemara? Thank you very much. It's a hard thing. It's taka can make you angry. Taka can make you angry. Preparation. The whole key to avoiding conflicts is preparation. Just to prepare for it. To think in your mind before, this person thinks that I'm wasting my time learning Gemara. Imagine how pathetic of a matzav this person is in. This person is in Olam Hazeh. This is the place that he could be kaina, who knows how much treasures of Talmud Torah, and he doesn't even appreciate the value of Talmud Torah. My heart goes out to him. My heart goes out to him. So he's going to come and he's going to tell me, were you wasting your time again? So just prepare yourself. Each person is different. Some people need a good joke. Some people you need to know how to say a good line. Some people you need to know how to answer in an honest way, in a low voice. Everybody is different. But there's nobody, if you know your customers, and you know the situations that tend to get you angry, so it's such a simple thing. In comparison to struggling with your anger, b'shas maisa, just prepare for it. I know that this is going to happen. I know that when I go to this and this person, they're going to say this and this upsetting thing. I know that we're not stupid. We're old enough. We know the cycle already. Certain things make us angry. I know it's going to make us angry. Okay, so what am I going to do? How am I going to prepare myself before? And then it becomes so much easier. I'm following a script. It becomes easy to follow a script and to be mechadish and mahalach on the spot. These are practical etzes, some practical etzes. There are others, but these are some practical etzes. Now let's move a little bit more inside. Let's move a little bit inside. Things that these aren't etzes that we could do in a half a day, what I'm going to say now, but they're things that we could train ourselves over time and teach ourselves through work to look at the situation differently. We started to touch it yesterday, just to take it another step. The pasuk says, "Toiv erech apayim megibar." Someone who knows how to control his anger is better than a warrior. He's better than a gibar. That means that the ability for a person to control his anger is a display of incredible strength. incredible strength, that type of self-control, to know how to diffuse it, to know how to not feel anger, or even if you feel it, to know how not to express anger, is a very, 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 very powerful thing to know. Very, very powerful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be zeichet to the greatest schar, the greatest tanaos in the world. And some of us have within us tremendous kaiches to be gibayrim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be gibayrim. And if nobody's going to come along to get me angry, I will never express my gvura, and I will never get schar for it. Because that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that the potential madregas, you don't get schar. Someone who potentially could have controlled himself, if someone would have gotten him angry, you don't go to Olam Haba for that. You could only get your Olam Haba. You could only get the treasures, the oitzrus of a gibor that a gibor deserves if someone will try and get you angry. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he cares about us, because he's looking out for our welfare, because he wants us to get that incredible star, thankfully, Baruch Hashem, out of great kindness and care, he sends people our way to get us angry. Because if they don't come our way to get us angry, we'll never get the schar of Tayyib Erech HaPayim HaGibor. The sefer that I mentioned yesterday in Erech HaPayim, he says that someone comes over to you and gets you very, very angry. He said you could smile. He doesn't say it directly to the person. I don't know if that would go over very well. But he says to think in your mind to the person, to think to him, thank you so much. You gave me infinite schar in Olam Haba. Oh, Baruch Hashem, you gave. I don't know what would have happened if you wouldn't have come. I would have lost a few billion dollars. Baruch Hashem, you gave my way, and you gave me this design of getting angry. I can't thank you enough. I say, think about it. If I would walk over and give you $100, you'd feel grateful to me. If I give you $200, you'd feel more grateful. If I gave you $1,000, if I gave you something that was worth more than any currency in the world, so you wouldn't know how to thank me. Anybody that comes your way to make you angry, he's giving you something that's more valuable than any currency in the world. He's giving you the milah of a gibor. Tayyib Erech HaPayim HaGibor. You should thank such a person. You shouldn't thank him. Don't try it. But you should look at it as an opportunity. I'll give you a mashal. Someone, we have here a nice sized Olam in Yeshiva that took an EMT course. So let's say a guy becomes an EMT. And he's walking in the mall, let's say, and someone collapses. Someone's choking or something. So, new, fresh EMT. He runs over to the guy. He does whatever he's supposed to do. And he revives him. And it turns out that it's the governor's son. It just turned out that way. It happened to be that way. So it's written up in the newspaper, the governor's son was choking and so-and-so, a boy from Yeshiva Gedola went and saved him. Damish is in the papers, the governor sends him a thank you letter. A lot of cover, geschmack. Somewhere, in a certain sense, it's thanks to this kid choking that you got such a great reward and a great recognition and everything, just thanks to his choking. You wouldn't wish it on him. Of course, you would never wish it on him. But thanks to his choking right near you, you got all this recognition and covet and everything. You got to save someone's life and further your experience and all the miles of using your skills. So you're not going to go over to the guy and say, thank you for choking. And you're not even going to feel, it would be a little bit of an achzorius to feel thankful to the person for choking. You know, there are guys who wait, let's say, to work for, they work for Hatzalah. So they wait for a call to come in so they can get experience. So I can imagine in a certain sense that let's say a guy goes Sunday he goes to New York and he's spending the whole Sunday. And Hashem is so good to Yidden. That Sunday, nothing happens to anybody. By the time he's getting to the end of the day, he's like, would someone please collapse already? I jumped in all the way from New York. I want to get my experience. Chas v'shalom, a person would never feel that way. But in a certain sense, I'm just trying to bring out, in a certain sense, it's the people who need us and the people who bring out our milas and the people who cause us to display what's special about us that there's a certain almost hakaras hatayv over there. Somebody gets you angry. It's like someone choking in front of you. Somebody did something not nice. Somebody did said something obnoxious. Somebody said something hurtful. There's an opportunity over here for growth. It's a hechatimsi for your growth. It's something to keep in mind. It's something, it sounds, this is something that sounds almost bizarre when you first hear it. It sounds almost bizarre. It sounds like too frum even for this chavura, I think. Like, I usually don't talk this way even. It sounds almost bizarre. I should thank the person because Hashem, something bad happens, I should say thank you. But the truth is that if you think about it clearly, and more than if you think about it clearly, if you try it one time, you try it one time to be in a situation where someone's making you angry, and you just feel it's just hakara satayv. Here it is, it's just the schar is piling in, the gevura is piling on, and you just feel this hakara satayv, that you're in this situation, that a person's getting you angry. If you try it one time, you'll see that it's not a guzma, it's not a far out thing. It's not a real thing, it's a real sense of gishmak, a real hana. A little bit of a takeoff when we spoke about yesterday that things were supposed to happen this way. When someone gets angry, there's no reason to get angry because things are supposed to happen this way. It's part of Hashem's plan. It's a taiva for us. You know this tzchar that it says, what's brought in Svarim, what it says for someone who controls his anger? It's an amazing thing. Just imagine this. It says, kaviyachol, that when we do averis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. Of course, it's not the same anger like we have. But it says, v'chora af Hashem bochem. Of course, it's Hashem to get angry at us. And I don't think there's anyone that could say that he's nitzel from doing averis. Everybody on their level does averis. And when a person does averis, it causes Hashem to be angry. And we know that Hashem works mida k'neged mida. So just imagine, just for this alone, if someone comes and gets me angry, and I blow up at them, so now what's stopping HaKadosh Baruch Hu from punishing me when I get him angry? Nothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, I'm treating you exactly the way you treat somebody else. When someone gets you a little upset, you blow up at them, so you got me a little upset, I'm going to blow up, and of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't lose his seichel, but the Midas Hadin will come down very strong. What will happen if someone does a tremendous avla to you? Tremendous avla. And even though the avla was mamash a tremendous avla, not a forgivable thing, mamash not a forgivable thing, you managed to say, I'm oichel, let's move on, I'm forgetting about it, we'll move on. Mistakes happen, miscommunications, whatever, we're moving on. Let's say you managed to find that gevura, and then the next day, unfortunately, it happens sometimes. A person is nichshel in an aveira, in a big aveira. So you think to yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make a decision now. Should he punish? Should the Midas Adin come down strong? Or should he say, you know what, let me give this person time to do tshuva, mistakes happen, things will work itself out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look at our behavior. How did we treat someone who got us very upset? How did we treat someone who did a big avla to us? Suddenly, it's like almost like not any sayin in those terms. It's not any sayin. Everybody wants a Kaddish Baruch Hu to say, no, these things happen, I understand. Everyone wants a Kaddish Baruch Hu to say that. To be zoichet to that schus, a Kaddish Baruch Hu will say that. That's someone who's a veteran, someone who doesn't get angry. The famous story about the Chafetz Chaim that was set over by a trial when they were trying to show the good character of the Chafetz Chaim. This famous story that the Chafetz Chaim woke up in the middle of the night, supposedly, or something, and there was somebody stealing things from his house. The big kasha on the story is that I don't know if Chafetz Chaim had anything to steal. But whatever it was, he saw someone stealing kalim from his house, and the guy's slipping out of his house, and the Chafetz Chaim's chasing after him. Moichel, Moichel, Moichel! Screaming to him that he's Moichel. Famous story about the Chafetz Chaim. It's not such a kasha, the story. The Chafetz Chaim at that time is thinking to himself, first of all, this poor guy, his family starving, you know, the Chafetz Chaim is living in the guy's tsar. But the Chafetz Chaim is also thinking to himself that as he's screaming, Moichel, 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 there's a baskal also screaming at the Chafetz Chaim, Moichel, Moichel, Moichel. The way a person answers, how Kaddish Baruch Hu treats him. Someone could steal something from you and you say Moichel, so then the Rebbeinu Shem could also say Moichel. What I just said is a Beferish Gemara. It says in the Gemara, called Hamavir al Midoisav, someone who's Mavir al Midoisav, he's not Makbir, he's not a captain, Ma'avirin like Kol Pshav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Meichel all his Averis. Can you imagine? Your mamash have to thank you, guy. Imagine a person walks around feeling like he's burdened by Averis. As someone walks over, gets you angry, you Meichel him, you clean slate, Ma'avirin like Kol Pshav, you owe the person that Karis Hatav. If not for him, you would have still been walking around with Averis. An amazing thing. It's a big thing. It's not all or nothing. It's not all or nothing. I know somebody who feels, without going into details, I know somebody who feels about another person, like that person ruined their life. That person did tremendous damage to them. Tremendous, tremendous cataclysmic damage to their life. So this person went over to the first person and he asked Mechila 2 Yom Kippurs ago. So my friend told me that when he was asked Mechila, he said, look, I think you ruined my life. I don't feel like I could say I'm Mechila you right now, but I'm willing to say let's move on. Let's move on, let's go on. It's over. It's over, it happened, let's move on. A year later, the person came back to him again and asked Mechila again. And the next Erev Yom Kippur. The next Erev Yom Kippur, he said, okay, now I can say I'm Mechila you. That's Steiging. That's Steiging. That instead of making it all or nothing, the first day he was able to just leave go of his anger a little bit. He was still obviously angry. He was still obviously here. But at least he was able to leave go a little bit. I thought that was a shtickle growth and honesty. He was able to leave go a little bit. Okay, I'm still angry. It's hard for me to be Michael you. Let's move on. That's the first step. A year later, he was ready to be Michael. Yesh Ephraim, Yesh Ladin, if he hadn't done the first step the first year, he said, I can't talk about it. Would he have been holding by the second step the second year? It's hard to imagine, no? It's hard to imagine. Sometimes it helps to be in a matzav where you let go a little bit. You leave go a little bit, so then you're able to leave go a lot afterwards. That's big thing. He doesn't lose his mind. I'm angry, but I'm not losing my mind. Save your dignity. But this person will still hold on to his anger. This is a lot less destructive than the first types of chaos. A lot less destructive. The Afgam Zois Vada Shalai Higia Liya. It's Naki, but don't forget, we're learning now the Midas Hanakias. It's not called Naki. He still has that bad Midah of chaos, but at least he didn't lose his mind. He still has his wits about him. He's Steiging. He's in control. It's something. Ki afilu zohir einenu adayin. He's not even really considered a zohir because the kas is an iser. Ki ad sha kas oisei b'yroishim layotze michlal kaisen. As long as kas has an effect on him, he's still a kaisen. It's still called a kaisen. But there's a higher madrega, zok the Ramchal. V'yesh oit pachos b'zeh. This person is even less of a kaisen. V'hu shekosha lichos. That it's very difficult to get him angry. V'kaisei loy lahashchis v'loy lachal loy lakasmo. And he's not a destructive anger. He's not... He doesn't become a sugar when he's angry. It's a little bit of chaos. The kamazamoy regavaloyoyser. He gets angry for a split second. I know people that never get angry. Sometimes if you really, really push it, you see it in their eyes for a second. You see in their eyes for a second the anger, and then it's gone. I know people, you mamish could see it on them. You see when he says the kamazamoy regavaloyoyser, by the way, he's referring to a pasuk. Because it says that Kael Zoyim B'chol Yoyim. It says Hashem gets angry every day. It says for one rega, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Zoyim. That's what it says in the Gemara. That's a play on the words of the Kamo Zamo Rega V'lo Yoyzer. Sometimes if you get someone really, really angry, you see that flicker on him. You see that like flicker of kas, and then it's gone. Like a candle that was lit and sputtered out. It didn't ignite. He's going to have a teva to get angry. There is a teva to get angry. So when the kas is nisayir boy, listen to how beautiful this is. He's saying, I have a natural tendency to get angry. It's my physical, it's part of my being. I get angry. As soon as I start getting angry, I right away start the melchama. My seichel kicks in and says, what are you getting angry about? And all the things that we learn start figuring it. And the melchama comes, and I win the melchama. My seichel wins. That flicker of kas that you see is that second between the kas being the seir and you getting to squash it down. That flicker. It's true with other types also, that type of that flicker, and then you're able to squash it down.
You're trying to fight it, then like the guy's like, oh,
he's getting me,
he's
getting me. Yeah, that's a big. That's a good point.
You're trying to be the opposite.
That's a good point. It's true, even. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I see that you're upset. I see you're upset. Yeah. And then comes the, no, I am not upset, you know. Yeah, it's a good point. That's an interesting gather, this how he's misader it. The kas is misoyer b'teva, and then the tvuna, the havana of a person, is misoyer kenegdai. You have the melchama going on. This is what Chazal say. A couple of days ago, I pointed out that the Mishnah does. This is kasha lichos v'noyach lirtzis. Means it's hard to get him angry and it's easy to calm him down. In the Mishnah, that's the highest madriga mentioned. The Mishnah does not mention a person who does not get angry at all. And we said then, at least according to some of our teachers, because it's impossible for a human being to never get angry. So we'll see, hopefully today yet, we'll see if there's we'll be able to see if the Sotah Shem agrees with that pshat.
Or not.
Somebody said, I think Penny said that the pshat is that most of the time, it's just someone Alpi Roiv, most of the time the best meter you're going to find in Hamoin Am is someone who it's hard for him to get angry and it's very easy to calm him down. To find someone who doesn't get angry at all, it could be that you find such a thing, but that's not common. I think Penny, I think that's what you said, pshat. But we, I mentioned that there are some that say it's the human nature is unable to never get angry. So that we'll have to see. What were you saying, Yosef?
That it's impossible to show it even for a second, or that you never...
I'll never be misoyer.
You're in the first place when you're
misoyer. This is avada, a very good chelak. Teva ha'adam is oyer lekas. The teva of a person is that it's oyer to kas. That is the teva. That's the nature of a person. V'im hu misgaber olav, and if he's misgaber over it, sha'afilu b'shas ha'kas atzmoy le'yivar harbe. That even while he's angry, it doesn't burn. It doesn't burn very much. Umisgaber olav, and he. And then he conquers it completely. Shafilu oisei hakas hakal. Even that little leicht hakas, lo yamoid b'zman gadol. It doesn't hang around for too long. Ela yavor v'yelech. It goes and it leaves. Vaday sharoy l'shevachu avada. He's roy l'shvach. V'yomer zochrein and levracha. Toyla eretz al belima. It says al mi. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is toyla of the world. The whole schus of the world is al belima. What's belima? So Chazal dashen al mi shem boilein piv. Someone who keeps his mouth shut. Mariva during an argument. He doesn't bring the Gemara in Gittin, the famous Gemara in the fourth paragraph in Gittin, that says, Hane'elovim ve'einam oilvim, famous Gemara. Hane'elovim, people who are insulted, ve'einam oilvim, and they don't insult back. Shoymim cherpasim, they hear their abuse, they hear their bizoyin. Ve'einam eishivim, and they don't respond. So how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu feel about that person? Aleihem ha'kosev oimer, on them the Pasuk says, ve'oihavov, and those who he loves, like the sun coming out in its full strength. That's a lot of love. That's powerful. An amazing thing. So if someone's able to be boil and piv, someone's able to swallow down the response, swallow down the comment, swallow down the reaction, it's goyim, a tremendous ava from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We already discussed that it's a shtikl midah keneged midah. Someone who keeps his mouth shut, even though he has a lot of kitrug, a lot of din ready to come out of him, he keeps it shut, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shuts up all the kitrug on that person.
Someone says something to you,
that's the
you
can't. Very nice, it's Lechida, very nice.
That means that he's this oyer. It already came up to the mouth. You understand? It starts in the stomach, right? It already came up, the anger, and then he keeps his mouth shut. He shuts his mouth. That's the difference, Lamashal, between Boila and Piv, Bishas Mariva. And let's see what it says in Parsha Shmini. It says that when Aaron's children were killed, it says by Yidaim Aaron. Aaron was quiet. That's not Boila and Piv. That's not that he was quiet. That's it, that there was no storm. There was nothing. It didn't even. It wasn't like it was a storm going on and he shut his mouth. There was no. By Yidaim means it was quiet, completely quiet, silent. We're talking about not such a high madriga now even. We're praising even a lower madriga. That even someone who feels it in his stomach is turning, and he just shuts his mouth, he keeps it shut, that's greater than that tremendous ahava. The mid of Hillel HaZaken is greater than all of this. Shekvar loy hayo makbid al shum davar. He wasn't makbid on anything. Ba'afilu his oyerus shall kas loy nase boy. Hillel HaZaken wouldn't even be nis'oyer to anger. Zehu vaday hanoki min hakas mikol v'koil. That's a person who's completely noki from kas. Okay, now this sounds to me like being chaylik on the mafarshan that I mentioned before, because he's saying it is possible to never get angry. As I'm reading it, though, I realize that it's not a kasha, because it could be. We don't know that Hillel HaZaken never got angry. We know that he worked on himself to a point. We probably wouldn't even be meshabeach him on a midah that he was born with. That's what he was born. That's the way he naturally was. Some people are not capable of being angry, so it's not a grace of kunz that they don't get angry. It could be that Hillel used to get angry. It could be that he once got angry. You know, there's a famous letter from Rav Huttner. Very, very, very famous letter. Maybe it's the most famous letter. And they, in Eretz Yisrael, they give it out, and to all the yeshivas, they give out this letter. I think Rabbi Kalish once read it in one of his Friday shiurim. It's a very famous letter. He writes in English in the letter, right, Sheva Yivol Tzadik Vekam, lose the battle and win the war. And you could lose the battle and win the war in the end. Sometimes people have yeridas, people have failings, people are nichshel and things. That's part of steiging sometimes, your yeridas along the way. It's a beautiful letter there from Rav Huttner. In the letter, he writes there, do we know how many yeridas the Chafetz Chaim had before he reached his final madrega, being able to absolutely not speak Lashon Hara? And there was a tumult in the veld when he wrote the letter. He got into trouble. What? You're saying that the Chafetz Chaim spoke Lashon Hara? That's the people who are like tiny, they got angry at Rav Huttner. That's what Rav Huttner writes, that the Chafetz Chaim Kemat writes that he spoke Lashon Hara. He says, Mi Oidea, he writes, Kama Nesiga is Acher. How many times the Chafetz Chaim fell back? He was trying, and he fell. And he tried again, and he fell. And he tried again, and he fell. Until he became the Chafetz Chaim. It's a big tunnel. We're especially nowadays, we're in the art scroll generation, and we read books. We read every single book is about the Gadol that knew the whole Tanakh when he was 3, and he knew the whole Shas when he was 10, and he never did an Avera, and he was mamish like superhuman. Superhuman, mamish superhuman. Most of them, you know, had miraculous powers. Nobody ever had a Yetzirah. Nobody ever had a Yetzirah. Nobody ever had a Nisayan. Nobody ever had a Michshel. It was just complete and total malachim, chilavat saif, a special neshama that came into the world. That's basically the Art School Masorah series. That's basically the gist of the books. Basically, pure soul, known as Yainus. It's amazing. It's a great. I have. Oh, my phone is ringing. It's alright. This week I have to keep them on. A little bit. I love the Art School series because. I love the Art School series because it makes me feel like I don't really have to shteig. Because I know that I wasn't born that way, and I didn't know Tanakh when I was 3, and I didn't know Shas when I was 10. I know I have a massive Yetzirah, it causes all kinds of problems. So I obviously was not cut out to be a Gadol. Obviously not. It's great. It's like, I'm not from that breed of people, Bechlal. I love it. It's great. There's nothing like an Art School book to make me feel more relaxed. It's great. But the emphasis, I work for Art School, by the way. It's an important thing to realize, you know, the Rav Huttner was writing with maturity. What do you think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down perfect people into this world? The Chavetz Chaim is going to get for the end of Doros, the Netzach Netzachim, the Chavetz Chaim is going to get schar and is going to be praised and covered because of Shomer Pivul Shainai, Miho Isha Chavetz Chaim, who Meshabeh Chavetz Chaim never spoke Lashon Hara. He never had any Nisyonis, he just got it for free? Is that the intelligent approach? No, I'd rather he struggled, Gantz fine. Of course he struggled. You think we're giving him schar for nothing? You think we're giving him covered for nothing? Of course he struggled. He's a human being like everybody else. And he was such an Oyved Hashem, and he was such a Yirei Shemayim, that he worked on himself, and he steiged, and he grew. That's godless. That's godless. You know, I know somebody that went to yeshiva with my Rosh Yeshiva. He was 2 years older than him. So I said, no, so Lucy, what was he like when he was in yeshiva? So he told me, yeah, I remember when he was in 10th grade, he was such a pain in the neck, he was telling me. Such a pain in the neck, a wild kid. And the guy was like, you know, if you meet, lots of times you find older people that they love to say that they remember this Rosh Hashiva and he was up no good, and this Rosh Hashiva was a big letz, and this Rosh Hashiva didn't learn a word. You know, the people that love to do that. I remember him, he used to, there's a Rebbe that I know, that I once heard someone say, oh, this guy, I remember when he was in yeshiva, he used to do this crazy thing, that crazy thing, I don't even want to say, you know, so people like to do that because it's a good teret for them. You see, we're all the same. So this guy went out, he became Rosh Hashiva, I went out, I didn't become Rosh Hashiva. So we're all the same, basically. We all made trouble in 10th grade. But it's exactly the opposite, according to this. He was the same 10th grader that you were, and look at him today. He wasn't any different. He was the same troublemaker that you were. He was the same 10th grader that you were. And look where he is today. That's godless. It's exactly the opposite. Someone tells me that story, I have more cover for the person. Look what happened to him. That's godless. So the Mefarshim said that it's impossible for a human being to never be Mesa'ir to Kas. It's part of the human condition. It's part of human nature. We discussed that maybe it's a result of the Chet of Adam Arishim. It's part of the Xeris Misa. We talked about Kas is a type of Misa. But whatever the Cheshbon is, Hillel HaZaken Avada was Mesa'ir to Kas until he was Oymed B'Nisayan. And by the time we met Hillel HaZaken, when we bump into him in Masechet Shabbos, in the second parak, he was already Hillel HaZaken. He already was not Mesa'ir to Kas. He became a Naki. He was born a Naki. Is there such a thing? He became a Naki.
So you think it's not a
steal? It's not a steal. At first I thought it was, and now I realize it's not a steal.
So the mission doesn't bring down this level as well that you can attain.
Alright, so let me think about it. And even for a dvar mitzvah, chazal ma'aziras shaloi lichais, even for a dvar mitzvah we shouldn't get angry. Even a rav with his talmid and a father with his son, not to get angry. It's a very, very, very big hakvada. Ein, the Mishnah says, ein hakaptan malamed. A captain cannot teach. A father who gets angry, someone who gets really, really, the sefer that I mentioned, the sefer Erech Apayim, he discusses the barichas, that even the heter that a father has to hit his child, the heter that a father has to hit his child, which is mutter for a father to hit his child, it's usser if he's really angry. And he said, what? Unless? Let's cool it in without cast. What do you? Right. There's no lack of das. Rav Dovi Marinsky was telling me that he knows a guy that was recently in jail, a guy he works with, was recently in jail. Why? Because a cop happened to be walking by, and this guy's daughter was cursing at him. So in order to quiet her down, he slapped her across the face, nice geschmack hard, and I think he even knocked her down. And a cop walks by and sees a guy hit a little 10-year-old girl and knock her to the ground. They arrested him for child abuse. So I was, you know, with me, you know, sometimes a guy has to discipline his children, you know. But the truth is, it's not. The Torah would also say it's child abuse. The Torah would also say it's child abuse. We're mechuyev to be miyaser. We're mechuyev to teach our children. There's such a thing. I'll be derech haTorah of hitting children. I'm old. There's such a thing as a rebbe hitting his talmidim. There's such a thing. But it's a chinuch tool completely. It's completely a chinuch tool. Completely. It's not something to do out of anger. A father that hits his child out of anger, l'chayra, is being over a lav. Same lav as anybody who hits anybody. L'chayra being over a lav. It's not something to do out of anger. My father used to be mechanichus. He used to hit us. So He didn't walk over and hit us. I don't know if ever. He didn't walk over and hit us. He always would say, give me your hand. And we always gave our hand. Always. But in a certain sense, it's a tremendous hachna. Like you're giving yourself into punishment over here. We didn't like, well, give you. Are you crazy? I'm going to give you my hand. We didn't do that. We used to give our hand. I don't know why. That's what we did. My kids don't do that. But my kids, the hands go behind the back if you say that. But in a certain sense, it shows me tzad the mechanech. It shows a certain calmness. There's no get over here. There's no give me your hand. It's a very calm thing. It's an einish. Yaakov Yosef Herman, I said in All for the Boss, Rechamashin writes, Yaakov Yosef Herman, he's mechanech his children, he hit his children. There's a steer in the book. One place it says that he did hit her. One place. But it says that when he used to punish his children, he would bring them into a room, very serious, and they would sit there, they would trembling with fright, and he would take off. You guys read the book? What? You read it? You guys didn't read the book? You didn't read it? You read it? Brian? First chapter, that's where you stopped? You read the book? You read the book? You have to read that book. It's a Jewish classic, I think. I think it's a classic. You have to read that book. You have to read that book. It's a good book. For a lot of reasons, it's a good book. And it's interesting. And that's not an art school book. I think it's Feldheim, but that's not a coincidence. I work for art school, not Feldheim. It's a All for the Boss. It's not. He's a different type of gadol. It's not. No. It's not. He's not like a cookie sheet. You know, cookie cutter gadol. He's a completely unique, different type of completely different. Completely different. Different than anything you're used to. Probably parts of the book will upset you. That's also helpful. Anyhow, so they come into the kids. He had a bunch of girls. That his daughter comes into the room, and he takes off his belt. And she's shaking, and he takes the belt, and he slams it down on the iron post of his bed. And it makes a loud noise, and she screams. From what? From nothing. That's discipline. That's a Torah discipline. Is that it's almost like, it's an einish without, not, the point is not the hitting her. The point is to be marakas. The point is to show his disappointment. And she said right now her mother would wait on the other side of the room to give them a big hug. It was a whole ordeal that the father hit the bed. It's a ganze ordeal. Amazing thing. Not that you shouldn't punish them. You should punish them. But you should punish them without anger. Rather, with the purpose of being madrich them the right way. And today, you know, I'm not going to get involved with this now. But there's a big thing with Bizmanenu. If Bizmanenu is the right thing to hit children, I think I saw. I get emails to me every couple of weeks. Shmuz from Revolva. I share emails to me. So I think I saw a couple of months ago that he writes that he said to Rabin that we're in a generation we can't hit our children, it's not our way of doing chinuch, that's all we with love and so on. And I don't know how much it's lamaisa and how much it's not lamaisa, that's not the discussion right now. But one thing is for sure, that if people would be mechanic without cast, then even if they would hit, it wouldn't turn kids off. No kid is turned off when his father's mechanech without kaas. People are turned off from their parents when their parents lose control over them. Their parents are in a frenzy of kaas. That's what turns a kid off. If you can have a father hitting his kid, and this is the godless of the way Torah Dikur mechanech is supposed to do it, to hit the kid, and the second later you smile again. That's it. The punishment is over. It's over. It doesn't take you 2 hours to cool off after that. It's over. You know, to say a punishment, even if it's not a patch, to say a punishment, someone who doesn't do this and this in the house is going to get this punishment. To be able to give the punishment, and the kid should realize, you feel bad for him that you have to give him the punishment. You can't back down. That's also bad chinuch. You have to give the punishment. That also comes through to a kid. Your punishment comes through, and the fact that you really wish you didn't have to punish also comes through. That's gishmak chinuch. The kid hears in the patch he feels that you love him. The anger that you show, should be cast of the face, not cast of the heart. I mentioned to someone a few days ago that I was once sitting in the back of Ben Asdarim and Chaim Berlin. I was sitting in the back and I saw Rav Aaron Shechter was in the front talking to a guy and learning. It was after a shir, and the guy was arguing with him about the shir. And Rav Aaron was screaming and yelling and jumping up and down. His beard was flying. It was like I don't know if I ever heard him scream so loud and saw him jump so high. He was getting soaked. The guy was being chaylik on him on a taser or whatever it was, and he was screaming and yelling. It's like, I can't believe it. This man lost it. And suddenly in the middle, Rav Aaron stops for a second and wipes something off the guy's shoulder. And then he continues his barrage. That's Gishmak. That's Gishmak. That's Kasa upon him. He was in the middle of talking and learning. Oyevim Bashar, the Pasuk says. We're talking and learning. We're getting all into it. I have a friend, Rav Aaron, who was talking to him and learning. He got so angry that my friend was saying wrong shot. And he told him, I'm going to take you and throw you out the window. You're talking about the kind of Mayetas Gedalia Torah, you know. Don't say wrong shot in Taisus. But at the same time, he's able to stop, wipe off the guy's jacket. You know, it's a guy that he loves. It's like one of his children. That's Gishmak Echinef. Don't make your ruach meshugah mevulbel to get angry, because anger is stays with fools. I have to look up this pasuk exactly what it means. It looks like it means to an avarim, to an evil, to a crooked person. I'm not sure if it means that he kills with anger or anger kills. We have to look it up. And Chazal said, Adam Nicker. A person is Nicker in three ways. You see what a person is. Bekaisai, Bekisai, Bekasai, in his car. Everyone loves this Chazal. In his car, when he acts when he's drunk. By the way, the guy, I just have to say, I can't hold myself back. The guy who's drunk, and he's going, Rebbe, I want to learn this and that. You also can see, you see that he's a Balgaiva. You also see, it doesn't daft mean that you see that he's a, the guy who also comes out when you're drunk. People think if they get drunk, they sit crying to their Rebbe, it's the simon, it's vade that the mamish, the art scroll guddle, you know. Everything is sorry, they got drunk, you know, the mamish, Kass knows how to filter through when you're drunk too, just like all other tyrus. Don't be so sure. You still have to ask yourself again. The kisei in his pockets, how he treats his money. The kasei in his anger. The way a person gets angry, you see what kind of a person it is. And that sometimes this means, at our level, sometimes this means even how we get angry. Even if we do get angry, but there's a way of getting angry and there's a way of getting angry. And a person who knows how to get angry, the seichel, b'das, that's also a tremendous steiging. Okay.